This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm conducting a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Beth Burke. Bex is in Hixson, Tennessee, and I'm in Naperville, Illinois, so we're conducting this interview over the telephone. Today's date is March 23rd, 2009. It's now 9:09, lots of nines today, in the morning. And Beth, thank you so much for taking time to do this interview with me.
Sure.
Please tell me about your quilt, Red Alert.
Red Alert was part of the Sacred Threads exhibit in 2007 in their show. That was the second time that I had entered Sacred Threads. The people that started it are just so spirit-centered, I guess you'd say, and I was drawn to enter the first time because it was shortly after my mother had died, and I wanted to make a quilt in tribute to her. And Sacred Threads is the kind of a show where you can do those spiritual kinds of expression that maybe aren't appreciated in a mainstream commercial type quilt show, and maybe not an art show unless you have some body of work that, you know, goes that way. So I did a quilt for my mother the first year that they had Sacred Threads. And then Red Alert, they kind of expanded their focus. At first they were focusing on grief, spirituality, and healing. And then they kind of expanded that to include joy. And Red Alert was a really joyful quilt for me to make. I came to it with just no real expectations, but I went into the sewing room and it came out very quickly. It was just a joyful thing to make, and was a real departure for me from some of the earlier things that I had done. It's a three-dimensional red poppy. I love poppies, and I had them in my garden when I lived in Ohio, and I was always just the color and so forth just drew me, and I wanted to recreate that somehow in the fabric. And so when I did Red Alert, it just happened so quickly. It was just very joyful, so it was easy to make a statement about it, to enter it in the show, and then they accepted it. And it also, they invited me to show it with some of their other Sacred Threads sub-exhibits that they did. I can't remember where all it might have traveled, but it's been shown in a couple of places. But it's still probably my favorite quilt that I've ever made, and I have it at home here and enjoy it, you know, every day. So,
where do you have it hanging?
In the entryway to the master bedroom, which you can see it from the living room as well. So it's, you know, something I can see from a lot of different views.
One of the things that is important in entering Sacred Threads is the artist statement. Tell me about your experiences writing your artist statements.
Well, I have a writing background. I was a journalism major in college, so I think that's possibly what gets me into some of these shows, because I do have an easier time writing than sometimes than what the quilt merits. I can jazz it up to make it sound like more than it is, maybe. I don't know. I had one instance of that with a quilt that I showed at the Allentown Art Museum. It was for a a retrospective, but it was the quilt was in progress when I found out about the show, and I was able to make the statement fit the show more than the quilt might have originally, but if that makes any sense. But yeah, I do like to write artist statements that fit.
Now, you've had four quilts in Sacred Threads.
Yes. That first one that was the tribute to my mother, and that was very easy to write about because it was so dear to my heart and so recent, and that was a healing quilt. And then the Red Alert, and at that same show, I had one that pertained to my editing work that I do. I'm a freelance editor, and that one was kind of just a shaped thing. I don't know how to explain it, but it reminded me of a page in a book where I had made numerous edits, and so that was in that same show with Red Alert. And then the show in between there, I had one, and that one was spiritually inspired as well. It was kind of a shadowy figure of a dove that I could envision on a piece of hand-dyed fabric. And I tried very hard to stitch that into the fabric so that you could see it. But it just reminded me of the Holy Spirit and, you know, the inspiration that sometimes comes when I am working. I try to focus my work from a God-centered perspective because I know that anything that I do is from God. It's not like I was, you know, I created this talent. So when I do my work, I try to focus on where it's coming from and put that into the fabric. And that worked for that particular piece.
Now, Red Alert is 29.5 by 22. Is that a typical size for you?
I actually thought I was working very large when I did that. And then when I got it in the show and saw it with other things, it's like, that's puny. Some people work so big. But I haven't been able to stretch myself much bigger than that.
Well, tell me about your interest in quilt making.
Well, I started out, it would be 17 years ago, and the reason that I can pinpoint it so easily is because the first quilt that I made was when I was pregnant for my son. And I have sewn since I was about 7 years old, but when I was pregnant, I decided I needed a baby quilt, and so I think I got a McCall's pattern or something like that and started, you know, just put together a quilt. And I kind of liked doing that. And when we moved to a different house that had a room where I could set up for sewing, I started making quilts in earnest and just have enjoyed it ever since. And I felt like at some point that I had found a hobby that was one that I could have a passion about.
How many hours a week do you quilt?
Not as many as I'd like to. I have to fit it in between a lot of other things, but I do try to get in there, even if it's just for short bursts, you know, 15 or 20 minutes at a time and do something. A lot of times it's just touching the fabric and enjoying the textures and the colors.
What does your family think of your quilt making?
I think they are really appreciative of it. My husband is always very complimentary on things, and I've been able to give family members quilts. My daughter kind of orders them up when she changes her decor. Mom, now I need one in these colors, you know. My brother and sister-in-law, I gave them a quilt that I had made a few years back, and my brother was so surprised. He said, "Well, why are you giving me this?" And I said, "Well, because you need one of my quilts." And I guess they use that on their bed all the time. I've given my nieces quilts when they graduated from high school, and great nieces quilts for them to cuddle with, and then I made little ones for their doll babies too. And my son has two or three, you know, one for in front of the TV and one for on his bed. And so I think that everyone has enjoyed the quilts anyway.
Do you sleep under a quilt?
Pardon?
Do you sleep under a quilt?
Yes, I do. I made a really neat kind of a watercolor quilt for our bed, and it's on there in the colder months. It gets pretty warm here near Chattanooga, and so I take that off in the summer, but then I have made a lightweight one that doesn't have any batting in it that I put on the bed in the summer months.
Tell me about your creative process.
sometimes I am creative. Sometimes I just work by rote. I am inspired by texture and color would be the two things that I think draw me to textile work. I just love the feel of fabric and the vibrant colors. I'm not much of a pastel person. But I will see something sometimes in nature that inspires me. And like the poppy in Red Alert, you know, it's like I just want to capture that somehow. Other times it might be some other quilter's work that I think, oh, that would be nice in a different color or something like that. I started out really with all the traditional work in quilting as far as I learned to hand quilt, although I don't do that. I tend to do everything by machine, mostly because I want to finish it in my lifetime. I enjoy hand quilting. It's very relaxing, and I like that it harkens back to the tradition of quilting. I like that things are based on that, but I like to do them in more of the modern style. But yeah, and I'm not sure where I'm going with this. I forget where we were headed with this. But
the creative process.
Okay, the creative process.
Do you sketch things out before you do them?
Oh, yes, I do. I keep a little sketchbook, and I might put patterns in there that I've run across. One funny place where I always seem to find some inspiration is I'm sitting in church and someone has an interesting pattern in their clothing sitting in front of me. I have to make a little sketch of it so I remember. And I like to keep those. I have like a couple of sketchbooks going all the time and have those things to refer back to. And then it's oftentimes just a matter of going in there and starting to pull fabrics, or something will remind me of a certain fabric that I know that I have in my stash, and I'll pull that, and then I'll find something else that goes with it. Sometimes it's a matter of looking at, say, decorating magazines, and they're showing, like, new color combinations for the season, and I think, oh, I have fabrics in those colors, you know, and I'll go in and pull all the fabrics in all those colors and line them up and see what pops out and maybe find some kind of a traditional pattern that I would like to make, like a bed quilt. And other times it's more of the art quilting. I go back and forth between traditional and art quilting, and I don't really know what it is that makes me jump from one to the other, or, you know, why some things inspire me one way and some another, but I like both the tradition and the art quilt aspect.
Do you work on more than one thing at a time or one thing at a time?
I usually have several things going and many, many UFOs, as we like to call them in the quilting world. I have project boxes and project piles, and but I find that I get distracted easily if I have too many things going, so I do try to focus on one or two things at once. For instance, I just finished piecing a quilt, but I have another one that's sitting there with pieces spread around that I'm stitching on still. So, you know, there's two things going at once. But
Describe your studio.
Well, it's what should have been a bedroom in our house, and I have wireframe basket drawers stacked. I have each one is devoted to a color way. That's how I've got things broken down for the fabric. And I can see all of those fabrics when I'm sitting and working. I have my sewing machine set up on our first dining room table. There's a closet in there that where I stuff all the batting and the other supplies. So it's a nice size room, and I finally have room to spread out. I was in a corner of the laundry room in our last house, so this is quite a step up for me.
Do you have a design wall?
No, I don't. I don't really work that way, and I don't know why. I mean, everyone that I've ever read about that does any kind of serious quilting has a design wall, but I guess that's not the way I visualize.
Is there any aspects of quilt making that you don't enjoy?
Not really. Like I said, I really like the tradition of quilt making, and I would do more that was the old-fashioned way if I had more time, probably. I've studied whole cloth quilting. I love that whole tradition. Probably the one thing that I shy away from is any kind of applique by hand, but I still do that on the machine, so it's not that I don't like the effect of it. I just don't like the handwork of it, I guess.
Now, have you made any more dimensional flowers after Red Alert?
I have one started. I started a purple iris, but it hasn't come along as quickly as the Red Alert one did, and it hasn't been a struggle, but I don't think I've given it the attention that I need to make it come to fruition.
So you mentioned doing things by machine. What is your favorite techniques and materials?
I like just free form kinds of things. Things that don't require a pattern would be probably what I have the most fun with. I'm kind of a rebel in that if I see something, I don't want to make it the exact same way, so I figure out how to do it my own way. And so in that respect, that's where I jumped off from the tradition, because I don't follow a pattern. But just anything that's kind of, like I said, free form, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. I really like Margaret Miller is one quilt maker that I've admired, because she doesn't give you a pattern per se, but she gives you techniques. And so everything that you create from any of her examples is unique, but it, you know, it still follows her kind of technique, which is to cut in kind of a free-form way and sew together in kind of a free-form way.
Since you mentioned Margaret Miller, whose works are you drawn to and why?
I like hers. I think Carol Ballard did a lot for bringing the art quilt to the forefront. She kind of paved the way, I think, in that regard. Velda Newman does some beautiful work with the nature things, realistic, I guess, is how you describe it. And then there's an artist, and her name is escaping me, but she does this wonderful thing where she cuts holes in the quilts, and the first time I saw one, I was just fascinated by how she could possibly do that. But it's odd things like that that kind of intrigue me, because it's always the technique, you know, how did they do that?
What advice would you offer someone starting out?
Well, I had a woman approach me at church recently who asked about quilting. She knows how to sew, which that would probably be the first thing I would tell someone, you know, get a basic sewing instruction under your belt, just so that you're comfortable with the machine. And then I gave her some quilt magazines and said, you know, find something in here that appeals to you and go for it. It doesn't have to be a complicated process. You know, if you can stitch, even if you can't stitch by machine, I suppose, you know, there you could do it by hand. I've not pieced a quilt by hand before, but certainly you can finish one by hand. I would say just, you know, start cutting and start sewing.
Do you belong to any art or quilt groups?
I have a membership in the Studio Art Quilt Associates. I follow their work on the website and so forth. I don't participate too much. I was in a, it was actually Red Alert that I showed at the Nashville press show with them a couple of years ago, but they don't have a local too much activity going on. And I have in the past belonged to the quilt study group, again, because I'm interested in the whole history of textiles and quilting, and that was interesting because they do so much with the history of quilting.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
Well, anymore, it's going to be the price of quilting because the price of fabric just keeps going up, I think. I don't see the, you know, it kind of had a resurgence after the bicentennial, and I kind of expected it to die down at some point, but I don't know. It seems very vibrant, at least in this area. There's two shops, and one would be more traditional, and one would be more artsy, and both of them seem to be doing great. Every time that I've been in either one, there's people in there doing things, so I don't know. It doesn't seem to be any, you know, like losing its allure, at least locally here.
Do you think of yourself more as an artist or a quilt maker, or do you even make the distinction?
I don't really make the distinction because I do have a foot in both camps, and like I said, I go back and forth pretty regularly. Sometimes I just feel like, you know, piecing a traditional bed quilt is comfortable, relaxing, all that my mind can get around at the time. Other times I'm just energized to the point that I want to be in there doing the free-form cutting and sewing and creating something that is more of a wall-hanging kind of artsy statement. So, no, I think I'm a little bit of both and maybe a little bit of neither.
Why is quilt making important to you?
It is an outlet for creativity, and it's also a good time for me to sit and ponder. You know, when I'm doing the more rote stitching, I'm usually just thinking. It's not, you know, or not thinking, just letting my mind wander. It's an outlet for me. It's what I do, you know, to relax and have something tangible to show for my free time rather than just sit in front of the TV or whatever.
How do you want to be remembered?
Well, that's a tough one. I guess as I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
All right. What makes a quilt artistically powerful?
Probably color, composition, what someone brings to it that they've been able to translate into the fabric, the story behind it. Oftentimes tells a lot more than what you just see. going back to Sacred Threads, when you go through that exhibit, certainly there's things that are powerful in just the viewing of them, but it's reading those stories behind them that really, you know, brings it home for you. It makes it more powerful that way.
Do you plan to continue to enter quilts into Sacred Threads?
Yes, I didn't make the deadline this year. I had some ideas of a direction that I wanted to go, but I just it didn't gel for me in time. But yes, that's one venue that I really do enjoy entering, because it's just such a quality show.
How else is Sacred Threads different?
How is it different?
Yeah, how is it different?
Well, it allows self-expression, and then the way that they show the quilts is just so, it's hard to explain. When you go to a commercial quilt show, it's often just, you know, quilt after quilt after quilt. It's invigorating in the color and so forth usually, but Sacred Threads, they just do so much more to show the quilt in a unique light, and they offset everything with floral arrangements and fountains, and the lighting's just perfect. And they do all this in where it's been, at least in the past, was like a school gymnasium. And it's just amazing how they transform that into this wonderful, it's an experience. I mean, you come out of there with just kind of like a wow factor.
Now, I understand that each quilt has a book that comes with it, where people write comments.
Oh, yes.
So what kind of comments did you get on Red Alert?
Well, people thought that it was a joyful kind of quilt, you know, that it made them happy. I think it was probably kind of a nice contrast to some of the quilts that came with a little bit more somber story, maybe, you know, which you would encounter there at Sacred Threads. But yeah, I was really gratified to see that people did enjoy seeing it, and maybe caught a little bit of my joy in creating it when they saw it.
Now, do you enter quilts in other shows?
I have entered some in the past. When I lived in Ohio, there was a couple of local smaller shows, and they were the kind that were, where you would enter them and they would be judged and, you know, ribbons awarded, that kind of thing. And that's another reason, I guess, that I like Sacred Threads. It's not a judgmental kind of show. It, you know, they jury the quilts in, but that's more for their content, I think, than anything, but they're not judged once they're hanging.
How have advances in technology influenced your work?
I like to try out all of the new gadgets that come along. So when somebody's showing something new, I am one of the first to, you know, at least give it a try. But I don't know that I've necessarily embraced every new technique or new gadget either. But I certainly like that we have sewing machines that we can use, because I probably would have made maybe two quilts in my lifetime if I had to do everything by hand.
What are your favorite gadgets?
Well, certainly the rotary cutter is a whole lot better than having to use scissors to cut everything. And all the different sized acrylic rulers are really helpful. And the one that I probably use the most is the seam ripper.
A lot of unsewing, huh?
Well, yes. Although that's with the pieced and traditional things where I'm actually trying to fit something. When I get going on the freeform things, I don't worry about it. I just stitch over things for the most part.
Tell me more about your machine quilting.
Well, I took a class 1 year at Quilt Surface Design Symposium, which they have every year in Columbus, Ohio. And at that class, I learned how to do the free motion quilting. And that opened up a whole new avenue for finishing quilts. I didn't feel like I had to follow so much the traditional piecing and quilt in the ditch type of thing. I went from that kind of to heavy duty thread work. I made a quilt that I overstitched the edges on a flower form, trying to make it look like it was shaded and shadowed. I don't know that I accomplished that so much, but I remember I entered that into one of these judge shows, and the judges who were more versed in judging traditional quilts actually laughed at it when they looked at it because they couldn't figure out what I was trying to do. And now I'm thinking that I may have had the laugh because I see that same technique on so many of these art quilts now. I think, well, you know, that was just my way of getting into that whole kind of style, and they just weren't familiar with it. But I do like thread work. I have a huge box of thread that, you know, if I needed to find my way home from the out of the forest or something, I could string thread for miles.
Do you miss living in Ohio?
No, I don't. I hated the snow and ice and having to be inside for months on end and not being able to plan anything because you didn't know if you were going to be hit with a snowstorm. I just love it in southeastern Tennessee.
So how does the quilt making differ between Ohio, where you live in Ohio, and where you are in Tennessee? What are the differences? What are the similarities, too?
I don't really notice that much in the way of differences. I think quilters are quilters wherever you go. And I guess the people that I've been around who are quilters share a lot of the same traits and you know, you've got your traditional ones and you've got your artsy ones, and I knew some of each both places, so I would say that they're pretty much similar.
Is there anything that you would like to share that we haven't touched upon before we conclude?
Well, I do know that some of what I think probably is my where I get this drive to sew or make quilts is possibly in my genes, because my great-grandfather was a tailor, and I found this out after I had been quilting for several years, and my aunt told me that, and I thought, well, gee, you know, maybe it is something that's kind of an inherited thing to want to sew.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your morning to share with me. And we are going to conclude our interview at 9:51.